Welcome back to the Book Cave. For anyone who just happened across our podcast or might be unfamiliar with us, we run the Book Cave blog on WordPress, where we review books, post about author events and conventions, whatever we feel like, really. I'm Jessica. I started the Book Cave years ago. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. A lot of my reviews mention that I read books on long drives, or just that I'm out of town in general. That's because I compete with my two Basenjis, that's a breed of dog, in a sport called lure coursing. It started as a way to simulate hunting for sighthounds. No animals are harmed, they're actually just chasing a plastic trash bag, but they love it. There is a version now where non-sighthound dogs can participate. So if you have a dog and they're interested in chasing things, you might want to check it out. But that's what I do in my spare time. This was supposed to be like a when you're not reading, but I actually do read while I'm there. So it's just multitasking, I guess.
A little bit of a cheat, but we'll allow it, Jess. When I am not reading, I am Catherine. When I am not reading, I am running around with my two little rugrats, having a blast. But I also really love cooking. I am one of those crazy people who actually finds a lot of pleasure in looking up a recipe, getting ingredients for it, and putting it together. And yoga. A little yogi as well.
I didn't know you did yoga.
Me either.
That's a new one.
We're getting to know each other better already. What about you, Anastasia?
Well, I actually do yoga as well.
What? Okay. All these yoga people?
Wow.
I started this in the past year. I've been doing it for 5 whole months now. Very proud of myself, actually, because I don't usually stick to exercise. So this is great. But I also, in my spare time, when I'm not reading, really enjoy playing lots of different video games. Pokemon or The Sims or Stardew Valley is a favorite of mine. How about you, Jennifer?
When I'm not reading, which is, I read every single day, probably at least 4 hours, but I love to travel, and I've been to 42 countries, and I also love to go to music festivals, which I was just at EDC, and that is why I sound like this, so I apologize. There may be some stuffiness coming from me during this podcast, but yeah, I definitely... Reading first, travel second, music festivals third.
You can combine the reading and the traveling.
Sometimes I can't. It depends.
So on this podcast, we talk about books that we've most recently read and any events that we happen to have gone to or signings or anything. And that is all spoiler-free. In the second half of the podcast, we deep dive into a book that we've all read, and there will definitely be spoilers in that part. But don't worry, we will let you know when to turn it off. If you haven't read the book, we are talking about A Fate Inked in Blood this time. And we'll let you know when you should turn it off if you haven't read that. So, this month... I kind of had a theme going. I read Fate Be Changed. It's a Disney twisted tale. I like those. I'm a Disney kid, I guess. Grew up on Disney. And I love the Disney twisted tales. You get to revisit that world, but it's not the exact same movie as the movie, so you get a little bit of difference. So they're YA fantasies. They usually just take like one aspect of the movie and... change it so that it changes the story. Fate Be Changed was based off the Brave movie, which I love. Love Merida.
Me too. That's a good one.
These books do tend to be a bit predictable because they are basically going to end in the same place that the movie ended. You're just getting there a different way. This one, though, got a little bit more predictable because it was basically Back to the Future.
What?
Yes. It was literally the plot to Back to the Future. So in the book, they always put it on the cover like a question, and it said, what if the witch gave Merida a different spell? Well, the different spell sends her back into the past to, like, her teenage mother, to hang out with her teenage mother, because, you know, the whole point of Brave, that her and her mom don't see eye to eye, so then they gotta get on the same page and walk a mile in each other's shoes, that sort of thing. But this time we go back into the past to Merida's teenage mother. She accidentally messes up her meeting her father, and then they aren't going to get together, so then she has to fix that. It is Back to the Future.
100%. 100%.
I'm not saying I was mad about it. I just had to laugh because it was the Disney Brave version of Back to the Future.
So does that mean that she goes into, like, a big musical number, like, at some point in the book to help with her parents courting?
Musical numbers don't translate well in books. That's the bad thing about these books, is that you don't have the big musical numbers that you have in the movies. So it wasn't bad, but super predictable. I gave it 3 stars. I wish I'd given it more, but I didn't. The other one I read was What Once Was Mine. Again, another Disney twisted tale. I kind of do them in chunks. I'll read a couple and then not read them until a couple more come out. This one is The Rapunzel, Tangled. And this one was really interesting. They did it completely different. This one starts off in our real world, and it's a brother-sister, and the sister is obsessed with Tangled and Rapunzel and wants her brother to read her the story again, and he's like, oh, come on, I can't read the story to you again. Let me tell you it, but in a different way. And so he tells the story, and you kind of bounce back and forth between him, you know, there's breaks where you read about the brother and sister, and then you go back into the story. It was really cute. And because I do read lots of these stories, it was nice to have a different setup. You know?
Very Princess Bride. I like it.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
In more than one way. I'm not going to say, though. Spoilers.
Okay.
All right. But I really enjoyed this one. The twist was, what if Rapunzel's mom drank a potion from a different flower, not the sundrop flower, different flower. And it was really cute. It was just really cute. I liked it. I gave it 4 stars.
Wow. 4 stars. Yes. Wow.
I know.
4 stars.
Maybe I need to read it. That might be like a 5+ star read for me.
It was just so darn cute. I loved it. Side note, there is a Princess of Thieves. It's the Robin Hood one. But it was only published in Australia.
Oh.
I love Robin Hood. I want it so bad. So I found it on eBay.
Nice.
It hasn't come yet, but hopefully when
maybe
it comes.
Maybe we'll hear about it next month. Okay.
And then the other one, I don't know, that is hardly even worth mentioning, but I read Powerful by Laura Roberts. It's the novella companion to Powerless, and it actually takes place during Powerless. It's like she has this friend that she's on the streets with, and then she gets pulled into this trial, and then we follow the friend and what the friend was doing while the main character was in the trial. It was interesting. I don't know that it was necessary. I'm really curious, though. There is a new character comes up that we're introduced to in this book, in the novella. And I'm wondering if that's the whole point. Like, we need him for the second book. Because I kind of feel like that was what was happening. And I was just like, I don't know, maybe it was in the original book and it got cut for time purposes. We all know those stories that the publisher makes you trim it. And she released it as a novella, so maybe this character is important. Hopefully that was the case and not just an afterthought where she started writing book two and was like, you know what would be great if I had another character that could do this? Because it just kind of felt that way. It felt like the whole point of it was just to introduce this other character. So, I don't know. We'll see. It was entertaining, I guess, but it was super short. So short. I have trust issues.
I love how you said that. It was entertaining, I guess.
I guess. I don't know what the point of it was, though. That's what okay. I read. I didn't right. read a whole lot this month.
Okay. Well, this month I read The Ministry of Time by Kayleen Bradley. It's a sci-fi book. I've been doing this year where I'm kind of like throwing a book from another genre in with my typical pile of romance and fantasy.
You need to get into a book club because the book club makes you do that.
I know, I really should. But after, like, so the first one that I really tried this was like a straight fiction book, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Again.
And I won't talk about it anymore, but check out our previous episodes if you want to know about my feelings on Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. But so this was me trying out sci-fi. And
I feel like that's hardly sci-fi, though, just based off how you described it.
No, that was
her new
book. Oh, the new one. Okay. New one. I was like, I know they were making video games, but I didn't think that was really sci-fi.
There was nothing sci-fi about Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
This one's
So The Ministry of Time, though, was sci-fi. And so the premise of it is it's kind of like semi-near future. And one thing that was really interesting about this is the main narrator, the protagonist, you never learn her name. Where it's really almost like you're reading like a government like document in a certain way. And I thought that was a really interesting choice by the author to do. So we only know her as the Bridge. She's a civil servant, an agent for the British government. And she is... her job is to gather what they call expats from across history to establish whether time travel is feasible and also if the human body can handle it as well as the fabric of space and time. So she is tasked with working as a bridge, meaning like she's basically going to live with this expat, this person from the from history that they're going to bring into current times. And her expat is Commander Graham Gore, who is an actual figure in history. I knew nothing about him before reading this book. And so the story takes place of this entire year where they live together. And initially, like, the government agent, she took this job because it has a huge pay raise and she was really intrigued by the project initially. But then when she realizes she has to live with this person from history, she's assuming it's going to be like this super uncomfortable roommate dynamic. And there is a little bit of like comedy of like kind of their first weeks living together and him seeing her as like a modern woman based off of like his idea of modesty in women from his time. But they also during this time learn a lot more about the true dimensions of this project that the ministry is putting together. And they're also forced to make a lot of hard choices. I don't want to give any spoilers. So I'm going to stop explaining it there, but I gave it 4 stars. I really enjoyed it. I thought, you know, I think because I read a lot of fantasy with magic and stuff, it was really easy for me as a reader to, accept a lot of the sci-fi aspects with time travel, in it. And I thought the author actually did a really good job of explaining it without it getting overly complicated or, you know, boring or being over explained to me. Mm-hmm. And that was like a big part of the plot is kind of certain mysteries of that science being uncovered. And like I said before, I really thought it was interesting that, you know, how she portrayed her main narrator, I thought was really interesting. And in terms of the romance, Jennifer, I gave it a respectable 3 chili peppers.
Yay!
So I thought that was great too. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that. And then I this month have been, I didn't get to my other books that I was looking forward to that were coming out. I didn't get to 5 Broken Blades or The Temptation of Magic. So those are still on my TBR going to this, because I was really inspired, Jennifer, how you're talking about you were rereading some of your favorite series.
Yes.
And I think I was still looking to recover from some of my reading slumps at the beginning of this year. And it has been years since I have gone back to The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer.
So good.
So I did it, and I have a terrible memory. Like, sometimes when I'm listening to our sister podcast, Broomsticks and Butterbeer, that Jess and her husband Dan read, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about, like, because it's been so long.
I do that, and too, while I'm doing it.
I kind of love that about myself, because I feel like I can sometimes re-experience a first time reading certain books if I give myself enough time. And that's kind of become the case with The Lunar Chronicles. I read Cinder, Scarlet, Crest, and then I just finished Fairest.
Amazing.
And I'm starting Winter. And then there's, so going into this month, I'm, you know, wanting to finish Winter and Stars Above.
I read that earlier this year.
So I'm excited to read that, because I actually haven't read Stars Above.
Then there's graphic novels.
That's what I was about to say. I didn't realize they were graphic novels.
Jess has them. Yes.
So I'm going to
get everything from her.
Get like, to that. And then I also was realizing I had never read Heartless. So that may also happen.
Heartless is great.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I also have not read Heartless, but Jess, I meant to get on that bandwagon.
This has been my obsession. I'm in a Marissa Meyer obsession mode, and I have no apologies. Like, I'm living my best reader's life. I'm enjoying the story and the world building so much. I feel like, so I'm basically going to talk about The Lunar Chronicles itself right now, and rather than talking about all those specific books.
Yeah.
But I just have to say, like, I think it has reminded me, like, what a really good fantasy series can be, like, where you can just tell, like, she really had, like, the bigger picture already framed, and it, like, how the different main characters interweave through each other's books, the time, like, I'm never bored. I feel like there's never a lull in any of these books. The banter is so good. I feel like, the thing I feel like we've all said that we really enjoy about ACOTAR was kind of, like, the banter and the dynamic in, like, the Night Court characters and stuff. And I feel like I don't get that
like
really
a good
in
crew.
A lot of series. Like a good crew. Like, where I really feel like, I feel like I'm in a friend group and I understand inside jokes. You know,
aww,
like that kind of feeling. I feel like I have that with the crew, in The Lunar Chronicles, and I also really love the way, like, throughout it, they gradually add more to the crew in a way that it's easy to remember who's who and who was connected to what main character and how they all met. Like, I think maybe because I survived Crescent City 3.
Survived it.
And now coming back to this series where it was like, oh, there is, like, a lot going on, but it was so beautifully woven together, and it was so enjoyable to expand the world and expand to those characters.
Was it overloading?
Like, wait, who are you? How do I know you? How are you with this person? Like, it just made sense, and the plot is always going. Like, there's never a lull for me. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that, and so that was a big chunk of my May reading was going back through that. And this is not, we're not sponsored, though I think we should. I experienced all this through Libby. Like, Libby has changed my life. I got all these books through Libby, but I'm enjoying them so much. I am tempted to get, like, the set, the pretty set that I'm seeing in the different bookstores right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Catherine, you know, if there was no Lunar Chronicles, I would have never written my story.
Which I'm dying to see published book somewhere, because it's fantastic.
It was like
before
Winter came out. Like, we finished the book right before Winter, and I was like, Snow White has to be the next one. What could it be? And I was just like thinking about what she could do with Snow White, and that eventually led to my story. So
Which I love, because and that's like the beauty of it too, is because your take on the Snow White story is so different from Marissa Meyer's take too, and yet they're both so good. They're so good. I'm so excited.
See, Jess, I'm not a yes girl. Catherine loved your story too.
we've been over this. You read the first draft. Like, I was typing and I would finish a chapter and I'd go send to Jennifer. Catherine had read like the finished copy that has been edited and revised and reorganized a million times.
You can tell it's been well thought through and loved, and really like the best words and the best editing has been applied. It's so good. It's so very good. But yeah, so that's been my May reading and kind of a glimpse of already what I'm going to kind of continue into into June. So
more Lunar Chronicles.
Yeah, more Lunar Chronicles, and I'm not sorry.
I kind of want to reread it now. I first read it in 2013, and then I did a reread when I was in Greece in 2018. So
see, reading and traveling.
Yeah, it works. Sometimes I told you. So, but I'm due for a reread. That's a long time ago, and I love that.
You should.
I know. I love that.
I wouldn't mind if we dive into it on this podcast, because I totally would. It's worth it.
I'd be down.
Yeah, we could do like a whole series.
And I love sailing.
Yes!
It's so good.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry. Anastasia. Read. What did you read, Yogi? My Yogi pal.
I finished The Viscount Who Loved Me this month. I talked about it starting it last month. So I finally finished it. And I now know why people were mad about the second season. I didn't know just how much they had changed until I read that book. Like, I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed this one a little bit better than the first one. So I liked Antony's story a little bit better than Daphne's. But I have very conflicting feelings, because I did love the show version very much. It was great, but my god, is it different. they picked some things from the book. Some of the plotline scenes did make it in there, but otherwise it's so different. Like, it's pretty much like not even half the book made it into the season, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and this is very difficult as a person who usually likes the book more. I have kind of equal feelings, probably because I watched the show first, but yeah.
Are you enjoying season 3 so far, Anastasia?
I am enjoying season 3 so far. I have some, I feel like things are going a little too fast for Colin and Penelope at the moment. And there are some plot lines that I don't think are necessary. Like, I feel like they're both too fast and, like, there's not enough of them at the same time for Holland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, because I'm loving it, but I have not read the book. So was that a book that you got to as well?
I haven't, because the third book that I will be starting at some point in the future is actually, they skipped over it, I guess. It's supposed to be Benedict's story, so they went to the fourth book for this season instead, which was Collins and Penelope's. So I won't be getting to that until the fourth one. I'm not sure if I should read it, like, go and just skip over it and read that one instead. Because I know they're kind of self-contained stories for the most part. So, but this is also the order it went in, is to not to read that one next. So I don't know.
Man, Instagram is all over that Benedict guy. I was like, I don't even really pay attention to him in the show, but they are simping for him hardcore, just to let you guys know. I think he will be next season, so we'll see.
I get it.
Eloise and Benedict, I'm excited for both of their seasons, but I'm enjoying the pollen. I don't mind it at all.
I'm also really enjoying Francesca's little side story. I think it's really cute.
Sorry, this became a Bridgerton podcast. I'm so sorry. I just, you were talking about it. Sorry, go on. What else did you read, Anastasia?
I had a pretty like slow month for May. So that was, besides my book club book and my podcast book, that was the only book I managed to read. But I had started a new job this month, so I...
Yay. Busy, busy. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so now that things are a little bit easier and summer reading is planned for the children, I can read more in June.
Awesome.
What about you, Jennifer?
So, sorry you guys again about my voice. This month I read 6 books, which is actually low for me to read in a month. Normally I read like 10. All of them were rereads, you guys, and I'm glad you're jumping on board my reread, Catherine. So
yes. That
makes me excited. I have to reread these books because, like I said in the, like, I think it was the first podcast, so I can like refeel all the feels. So if I haven't read it recently enough, then I don't feel the feelings like I know I would be feeling if I reread the whole story. So yeah, that's just, it's my vibe. But all 6 books, 4 of them were rereads, and 3 of them are rereads, and I new books were book 6 and 7 of Age of Vampires by Caroline Peckham and Susan Valenti. They are the sisters that write Zodiac Academy. I will read anything that they put out. For some reason, I guess I had a little bit of a vampire month now that I look at it. I also read the second book in the Empire of the Vampire series by Jay Kristoff, which is Empire of the Damned. And his books are so... not something I would normally read, but his writing is so, so good that I just continue to torture myself with them because they are not happy books. Like, nothing happy ever happens in them. It's just like these characters just are constantly like put through so much turmoil, but I just keep coming back for more. Like, it literally, your heart like hurts like for them all the time.
Would you suggest I read it? Because I like Jay Kristoff because he wrote The Illuminated.
Did you read the one with... did you read the Poppy one? I forget what it was called. Gosh, that was a really good one, too.
I read a whole lot of his other works. I've read some of Amy Coffin's stuff because she's the other half of The Illuminated little crew there.
So the ones we do together are happy. These ones are like... I cry because it's just so sad. but it's so good. I don't know how else to explain it. And there's not really any, like, there is some, like, you know, smutty stuff, but it's not, there's, like, really just no romance. It's all focused on these just, like, horrible situations that these people are in. And the vampires are not nice like Twilight. These are, like, really horrible, kill you, murder children, like, torture you. It's just all really horrible, and I don't have anything good to say for you guys, but there's a third book coming out, so maybe I'll have something happier to say about it then. But yeah, so that's what I did this month.
What'd your book club read, Anastasia?
We read Curse of the Spectre Queen by Jenny Elder Moak. It's a YA historical mystery set in the 1920s. In this book, you follow Samantha Knox and 2 of her childhood friends on a journey to Ireland after 2 men burn down the antique bookshop that she works in just after she received a mysterious diary hours before. It was really good. It was good. It was kind of like, an Indiana Jones sort of vibe, but not like with the kind of scholarly type people going on an adventure, kind of piecing together these clues and mysteries and stuff. But it was also, I feel like the pace was kind of slow, but also good for, I think it's only 2 books. At the time when I was reading it, I thought it was just the one. So like, which is weird because it wraps up really nicely, so I don't think she thought she was going to have a second book, maybe. I don't know. But it wraps up really well, so it could stand alone. It was a nice, like, just kind of fun, kind of, I guess, I want to say, like, simple read, in a way. Like, I feel like I read some, like, more heavier books, like The Familiar and Swordcatcher beforehand, which were, they have a lot more to them, and this was kind of an easier pace, a kind of simpler, easier book to get into and just enjoy. I gave it, like, I wavered between 3.5 to 4 stars, because I was like, I liked it, but I'm not sure if I, like, really, like, loved it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've decided to start defining what my star ratings actually mean to me. I can actually understand what I'm actually saying when I put a star on there.
It was entertaining, you guess?
It was fine. But I think 3.5 is, like, it's good, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't great, but it was good. So I think it's, like, 3.5.
Okay.
So my book club book, Catherine, you might want to pay attention, because this would probably be a good one when you're trying to get out of your comfort zone.
Okay.
We read Horse. The book title is Horse.
Alright.
And it's by Geraldine Brooks, and it's an adult historical fiction. And it was really interesting. So it's about it's like right before the Civil War, and it's about a racehorse. And the horse is real, the owners were real, all the races were real, the paintings they talk about are real, but she just didn't really, there was no way to know what actually happened. You know, okay. So she had to fill in all the blanks with the characters and stuff. But it's multiple points of view, and it's in different time periods. So you kind of jump back and forth between this this girl who works, girl Jess. Her name was Jess, by the way. This girl Jess, who works at the Smithsonian with like their preservation bones, skeletons. She's in that field. And then this guy who is like an art major, he's African American, he's doing like a thesis or something on the portrayal of African Americans in art throughout history. And the lady next door throws out this old painting after her husband dies. He picks up the painting off the side of the curb, and it's of this horse. And he's curious, and he wants to get it restored, and he's going to write this article about how to get old paintings restored, and if they're worth any money, and how to find out, because he also writes on the side to make money for a magazine or whatever. And so as they're learning about this horse and figuring it out, then you go back in time, and you get to read the story of this horse.
Oh, so okay.
It was really interesting. So the main character, other than the horse, is the groom of the horse, who is a slave. His father is not. His father is freed, but he's still a slave. And so you're following him and this horse that he's trained and raised and and everything. Like, his father, like, arranged the breeding and everything for this horse, and he's trained it from day one. The day it was born, he was there helping it out and everything. So it was really interesting. And you don't spend a whole lot of time in the modern day, so that part of the story felt a little rushed, because, you know, the guy and the girl, and they get together and everything. But so that romance was a little rushed, I felt.
I love that setup. You know, the guy and the girl.
The guy, the girl. If there's a guy and there's a girl, they're probably going to get together. So that felt a little rushed, because you don't spend a lot of time in the modern part of it. But that's okay, because really, I was interested in the horse story, not the guy and the girl story. The book club people loved it. And I hope you read it, Catherine, because then we could talk about it. There is a thing in the ending that felt like it did not belong.
Okay.
And it was drastic. And it was like, oh, shit. Well, I don't know if I like this book anymore. So, yeah. They all agreed. They gave it 4 stars. And they would have given it 5 if it wasn't for that one thing at the ending.
Interesting. Okay, I'm definitely intrigued.
That's okay. What I was thinking. I'm like, now I might
want to watch. Now I gotta know. Jennifer's just gonna read the last four chapters. Like, I just gotta know what it is. Gotta know what happens. I could tell you off air, but this is spoiler free.
I like horses, but I don't like historical romances, so.
Well, really? No, the romance is in the modern day, so it's not historical. So
okay, there. Okay. I mean, is it like Black Beauty? Like, that movie ruined me, so.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with the horse.
Oh, okay, good.
The horse is fine. Like, well, I mean, the horse. The horse, obviously, it's in the past. The horse does get old and die. But it's not like, yes, he's fine. He's fine.
Okay, cool.
And they find his, it was really actually so interesting. I'm sorry I keep talking about this book, but the author was at a charity event, and the guy in the table across from her started talking about how they found this old horse skeleton in the attic at the Smithsonian and didn't realize that it was like the most famous racehorse of the 19th century, and it's the horse of the story. And so that was what made her want to find out more about this horse and this skeleton and write the story.
Wow.
And that's so that's awesome. Kind of a thing in the book, too. They find the misplaced skeleton in the attic, and they have to, like, fix it up a little bit because it's been neglected, and that's the whole thing in the story. And Jess really likes bones. Jess is a little crazy. Apparently, when she was a child, she liked to find dead animals and get their bones out of them and reanimate this. I'm like, wait, what? One of the old ladies in the book club was like, oh, I used to do that when I was a kid. I was like, what?
I'm not going to lie. During that, when you're doing science, I think you're in, like, fourth grade, and you take an owl pellet, and you, like, go through it, and you find the little bones of the rats or mice. I found that very exciting.
Yes.
That was not something I had in my school curriculum at all.
We did that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing here. I didn't enjoy it, but I do remember people doing that.
Nope.
I just took notes. I didn't actually do any of the dissections in school. Kids were really happy when I was like, I'll do all the paperwork if you cut things open.
If you guys want to hear, just real quick. So I was in an advanced anatomy class. And we cut open a lot of things, a baby shark, a pig. Some of them did kittens. I could have never done that in my life. But the thing I passed out in was a chicken breast. I'm not lying.
How many of those have you eaten in your life? But you
couldn't see it. It was just something about a raw chicken breast, and we had to remove the skin from it, that I got lightheaded, and I had to go lay down in the grass outside. And everyone was like,
what's
wrong with her? But the shark, I was like, no problem.
We literally got it from the grocery store, but Jennifer couldn't look at it.
You guys, there's something wrong with chicken. I don't like it.
We did cats, like a full-grown cat.
That was my class did that, too. I did not actually do the dissection, though. I could not do it.
I just had frogs. Like, just...
We didn't have frogs, but we had cats. And we had pellets.
Too, but I opted out. I can't do dissections.
I got in trouble for the chicken part. They were like, you can't just leave. I was like, I did everything else. I can't do this chicken breast.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, anyways. Was just a tangent.
Jennifer and her advanced anatomy class.
Advanced anatomy, yeah. Okay, so I think we don't have any events that we went to. Oh, no. Jennifer, what was the thing you went to? I can't, for some reason, remember the letters. E-C-D?
E-D-C.
E-D-C.
Yeah.
So I did see some chick on the Fourth Wing fan site page, whatever, said that she dressed up as Violet and went to the festival.
It's so fun. It's Electric Daisy Carnival. It's a music festival, and it's an eclectic mix of people. Like, there are nurses, there are doctors, there are dentists, and then there are, you know, free spirit people, and everyone is just, like, living their best life, and I'm sure there's a ton of cosplay. I had such a good time, if you guys could tell from my voice.
So you text that you were going, and then, like, the next day I see this chick, she's like, I'm dressing as Violet, blah, 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 and I was like, is this a book thing? Why didn't Jennifer tell us she was going to a book thing? I'm so confused.
Because you dress up, you kind of just do what you want. You feel like what you want to wear. It's not super Comic-Con-y, but people like who like that type of stuff do dress like how they want to dress. It's awesome. Everyone should go.
So what Love did you dress music. As a character?
We did Foxy Goth. Like, we just did, like, broad themes. Oh. And then we did, oh my gosh, something iridescent. What was our third one? I forget. But, yeah, I would have to look at my photos.
You had so much fun, you forgot what your themes were for the 3 days
you were there. Meant to say so much alcohol gathering.
That is.
She had so I much alcohol that she forgot.
Oh, so much alcohol. You guys, but I also drank a lot of water. Don't worry. Don't be scared. Missing. Oh, we did a 41, and I looked 41. So cute in my little sporty outfit, and I spent $70 on pants because all my friends were in pants, and I didn't have pants, and I went to the rave store and bought pants, and they were $45 online, but $70 at that store, and it didn't make any sense, and I was ripped off, but I felt way more comfortable. Okay, the end.
Wait, like, what kind of pants are we talking? Like, were they sporty pants to go with your sporty theme?
Yeah, they're like buckle pants that show your butt and your like crotch, but I didn't. I was wearing like a bodysuit underneath.
I don't think you know like, what sports. You look like what sport was?
Do you I'm not so follow confused. Me on Instagram, Catherine? Get on my
No,
Instagram.
But I'm about to change that right now. Girl, what are you doing?
Like you can't see.
Oh my gosh.
They're like naked. Okay. I was wearing a bodysuit underneath, so I am not. But people,
that's not sports. I don't know what that is, but
it's like buckles. I don't know. I didn't
buckles.
Make this
sport. Scene. Buckles doesn't make sports.
I just wear what my friends tell me to wear.
$70 pants that aren't even pants.
Oh man, I'm selling.
But they have buckles.
I'm reselling them. Those, man. $70. I cried when I handed them my card. I never spent $70 on one article of clothing.
Okay. All right. Well, back on track. We've seen Jennifer's Instagram. Anybody else want to follow Jennifer's Instagram?
I'm public. Go ahead. Jennifer.Ferguson, I think.
I do follow you. But I just somehow missed that story. Okay.
Don't worry. It's saved in my highlights.
All right. I'll be checking it out after the podcast. See what shenanigans you're up to. I love it.
So we know Catherine is reading more Lunar Chronicles. Anything else you're currently reading, about to be reading, you want to talk about?
I am also excited in, I think like mid-June, Allie Hazelwood is coming out with another book called Not in Love. She's like one of my favorite romance authors. She always writes about like women in STEM in her stories. And this time it's going to be with food scientists. And I'm really excited for it. She has really good banter in her books. They're very funny. I laugh a lot when I read her stories. And it looks like from like the little snippet I saw, it's going to be like a forbidden love trope this time. And then I'm also excited for Icon and Inferno by Marie Lu.
Hey, but you stole that.
I'm sorry. I take it back. I'm not excited at all. I know nothing.
Did you read the first one?
No, I just put that in parentheses, like, I need to read the first one. But
you have to read the first one first.
I saw this thing, and it looks so cool. And I was like, wait, is this a standalone? It's like the sequel, too. And I was like, oh, so I got to read both of these.
Yeah, because I was describing the first one last time. I said, you know, I was excited for Icon and Inferno. It was the sequel, too. And I said what it was about, and you go, ooh. So, I thought maybe you read it.
Yeah, I forgot the title though. Like I remember the plot, and I was like, "That sounds great," but the title went. And then when I saw the title, I was like, "That's interesting." Yeah, so I mean, you got me excited for it, Jess.
Okay,
so
good.
I give you all the kudos. You are the OG of the.
Well, I was excited because I thought you had read the first one. Now I was like, "Did you read that?"
It will change once I finish my Lunar Chronicles obsession at the moment.
Okay, wait, sorry, just to go back to Allie Hazelwood, because her book Bride is everywhere. Have you read that yet? It's her fantasy book.
Yes,
You read it?
Yes.
I mean, I talked about it a long time ago. Sorry.
Jennifer, do you even follow our blog? I knew she read it.
I do follow the blog. Uh-huh. Do I look?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that one was really unique because she stepped out of what she usually writes, like, because it's more fantasy romance.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Okay, I'm going to read it. It's on my list because Book Talk is literally like blah, 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 bride, bride, bride. But I mean, I gave Rebecca Yarros a chance and she was originally all romance. So I have high hopes for Bride also. But I just cannot read like regular romance. It's so everyday boring.
I get that it's not for everyone. I totally own that.
But everybody loves it. I try. I try so hard.
You don't need to, girl. Like what you like. Yeah. No worries. I'm not offended.
Okay.
But yeah, I do think you would find Bride and like you would like her, that book of hers.
I'm super excited. I'm sorry. I do like your blog posts when you post them on places on Facebook, but I don't actually click the link open every time.
Oh, the truth comes out. The truth comes out.
But I just talked to you guys at Jackbox about this.
It's true. We do spill a lot of book tea at Jackbox night.
Okay, sorry about that. I want to read it. So adding it to the
list. Top of, you know, having this podcast and listening to Jess and Dan's podcast, we also have weekly game nights where we all sign on and play Jackbox games with more people in our crew. So we do talk a lot of books throughout the week together.
Oh, that just reminded me how Jane said, don't be afraid of her.
I said I respect her like the ocean. I think she's glorious and beautiful and powerful, and I'm aware of the of her wrath, and she chose to unleash it.
Her aggressive Hufflepuffness.
Yes. Yes.
Anastasia, what are you reading or getting ready to read?
Since I finished our book this morning that we needed for the blog, I was at the library today, you know, because that's where I work. So I grabbed more books.
I was at the library today, too.
That's crazy.
Because that's also where I work.
Oh, my gosh.
But I will be starting What Monstrous Gods by Rosamund Hodge. I swear this has been on my list forever. And I felt like it was just kept getting pushed back and pushed back forever. I read her book Cruel Beauty like, oh my god, 10 years ago. And I really liked that, and so I was waiting for this one. It's a Sleeping Beauty retelling. And so I have no idea if it's actually any good or if my taste from 10 years ago was bad. I don't know. But we'll find out.
We'll find out, yeah. Jennifer, are you reading something new or more rereads? More rereads.
I am currently reading Throne of Broken Gods by Amber Nicole, which is the second book of her Gods and Monsters, and this is my second reread of the series. So yeah, I can't stop because her third book, Dawn of the Cursed Queen, it came out on Tuesday. But because I was sick, I'm so behind. Normally, I would never let a new release of a book series that I love. Like, I love this book series so much. I can't tell you guys how much, like, it, like, lives in me. The fact that I did not read it at Monday night when it came out at 9 p.m. is, it's just so unlike me. Like, I'm so mad at myself, and I'm so mad that I'm barely into the second book. Like, I don't know. You guys, it will be another reread, I'm sure, my next time too. But I plan to hopefully read the third book. I don't know. There's still like 9 hours left in the book, so maybe by Friday. Yeah. So that's what I'm currently reading.
I, like I said, was at the library today. I picked up Burning Crowns, which is the third book in, I'm guessing, the last of the, like, a trilogy for Twin Crowns and Cursed Crowns. It's a YA fantasy. There's two sisters that were twins, obviously Twin Crowns. But one was, like, taken away and hidden and raised by witches in the desert, in the wilderness somewhere. And the other one was stayed in the castle and was raised to be the queen. And the witches are trying to, like, use their princess to take over the kingdom, because I guess witches are illegal. And, yeah, all kinds of things happen. I can't get into all of it, because that would spoil the first book, and then the second book. It's pretty good. I'm not wowed, but I'm still reading, so it's interesting. I'm entertained. Let's go with that. That's the theme of the... I also picked up, because it just happened to be sitting there, Five Broken Blades. Catherine.
Oh.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
So, yeah. And I picked that one up, so I have both of those. Those will be what I'm reading next. And Fatebreaker is going to happen someday. Someday. I don't know when.
I bought Five Broken Blades at Costco, just to let you guys know, because it was so beautiful. I also bought that other
one
that I sent you guys.
Isn't that gorgeous version that I sent a picture?
Did you? I bought that other one that I've never even heard of. I was like, who cares? I'm just going to put it on my bookshelf because they're both so pretty.
My gosh.
Who wants to read them? I just want to own them. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
It's real dangerous for your wallet there, huh?
Especially
well, she's going to sell those $70 pants. She's going to sell those. So basically, she got the books for free.
That, girl math.
Girl math.
I love girl math. That's how I get through life, you guys.
Okay, so we have reached the portion of the podcast where we are about to do a deep dive into Fate Inked in Blood by Danielle Jensen. If you have not read that book, now would be the time to turn the podcast off. There is a spoiler-free review on our podcast, maybe? Is it corrected?
On our blog.
On our blog, yeah. Sorry, this is the podcast. I just knew that I was about to say that there was a spoiler-free review, and then I knew there was like an issue with it, but I think it's been corrected, and now it is up and available for everybody to read. So, again, spoilers coming. If you haven't turned it off, now's the time. Thanks for coming. See you next time. All those things. Okay. Hopefully it's safe. I thought this time we would kind of follow more of the pattern of our book reviews. We kind of started with that last time we started with the cover. So let's start with the cover again. This book, okay, I don't like people on the cover. I'm not a fan of people on the cover. Wasn't really a fan of her on the cover. But the pages were so freaking pretty. I wanted the book.
You got like the fancy, like the blue edged pages, didn't you?
Oh no, I don't have it. But because I would have bought it at C2E2 from Anderson's, but they only had the white pages. Because I was just kind of wanting to buy something from Anderson's. I went in fully expecting to buy something from them, but they didn't have anything I wanted. But yeah, I would have bought it if they had the blue pages. They did not. So I do not own a copy. But okay. It's pretty.
She's pretty.
It is really pretty, actually.
I don't have that issue with people being on covers. And I thought the artwork for it was really gorgeous. And I liked what they did kind of with, like, her hair being splayed out and interwoven with the ruins and... I thought it was gorgeous. I was really drawn to the cover. And I do think it makes sense for the story, too. Like, looking at it again after having finished it.
Yeah.
It's not like our other book from last month where I was like, why is this the cover?
Why is this the cover? I don't understand. Yeah, I totally got the cover, but I just, I don't know. I have a thing with people on the covers. This one... as cheesy as sometimes they are, because it was more, I guess, artsy, like you were saying. But, yeah. I'm generally not a fan of people on the cover.
I don't mind people on the cover, as long as it makes sense. That trend, like, 10 years ago, where they were just putting girls in fancy dresses on the covers, was really weird and annoying. Like, that didn't have anything to do with what was inside the book. But at least with this one, you're like, okay, I get who this is. I understand... like, mostly what's going on with the background and why it's on there. Like, I think it's a nice cover. It's not, like, the most amazing cover I've ever seen, but it's nice, and it makes sense for the story.
Yeah, it's not my favorite cover, and you guys, because I listen to the audiobook and the narration, I don't think the narrator is horrible. I just could not stand the accent she was using for everybody. It made it so horrible. So then now I look at this cover right now, I pulled it up, and then I hear that voice in my head, and I really, really cannot stand the whole
Jennifer
picture.
Jennifer does not like Nordic accents.
But she's not, because she's not a real Nordic person, so it's so
funny. I'm teasing you. You're a world traveler. You know what a real Nordic Scandinavian accent sounds like. Oh. You were not to be fooled.
Yeah. Is that what it is? It just sounded so, like, corny. It ruined, because the words were actually so good. Oh, you guys, my drives. And I would fall asleep to it during EDC because my friends, you can't turn the TV on. So then I'd listen to my audiobook while I fall asleep, and I'd be like, why am I falling asleep to this? But I knew I had to finish it. Anyways, you guys, the cover I thought was fine before I heard the audio. So, but the blue page is beautiful. So beautiful.
I listened to the audio. I didn't have a problem.
You did?
No, I was fine. It's okay, fine. It's whatever.
You. Uh-huh. You were? What?
Yeah, but I am not the world traveler that you are, Jennifer.
It gave me, like, the chills, because anytime, like, during, like, the sexual parts, I'm like, oh, I know this is actually really good writing, but this is giving me, like, uncomfortableness. Oh, I didn't look you. I don't know. Never mind. I can't read it. I did not like it at all. But I read the last, like, three chapters. So good. Let me read it. Such a different book. Anyway, sorry. That's just my opinion. Nothing against the narrator. I just have sensory issues.
Okay. So... we discussed the cover and the audio. What about the story in general?
So I have heard, like, after I read the book, I will, like, and I write my own review, I'll kind of go on Book Talk and get, like, a bigger feel for what did other people think. I try not to do that before I read a book. And so I've seen people go from, like, one extreme to the other in terms of their feeling on the story. My personal feeling was that I really enjoyed it. I felt, again, I feel like I picked up this book shortly after our CC3 read, Crescent City 3 read. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like, it was really refreshing to step into a new world and for me to feel like, okay, like, within, like, the first couple chapters, I understand, like, okay, this is the dynamic of the world. Like, I like how they incorporated, like, the Nordic gods and the religion system with the magic system. I felt like it was easy, and yet there's still, like, more things to uncover. And there's still, like, questions, and because it's, like, book one of a series, I was okay with that because I felt like I knew enough of, like, the rules for the story that I was able to follow it. And for me, there was maybe like one small part, maybe like half to two thirds through the book where I was like, okay, it's starting to drag a tiny bit, but then I felt like it picked up right away after that. Mm-hmm. So I would say for like 75% of the book, I felt like it was exciting and well paced. And yeah, so like some twists I felt like I saw coming, but then they were quickly revealed, so it didn't feel like the author was really trying to make it the big twist. I feel like the big twist came more in the final chapter of the book, or big twists. But yeah, so I enjoyed the story. It was, for me, I think, again, like I was saying, it was exciting for me to pick up a fantasy book and be like, oh, I still like fantasy.
Fantasy I can understand. This is great.
Yeah, and I I liked the story, and I'm trying to think of specific things because it's been longer since I've read it, since you guys. But yeah, I did enjoy the story, and I remember feeling excited, especially with like all the questions it's asked at the end of the book. Like, I would definitely pick up the second book in the series to find out more about the story, for sure. I don't know how much are we talking about. I mean, I know we're talking spoilers.
Yeah.
But
yeah, say all like, the spoilers.
But yeah, so like,
we know what we want here.
I was not a fan of the, not the Nordic people. Who are the people that were with
Garland.
Us? Yes. I'm not a huge fan of them. So I'm excited. I'm hoping the second book we're more with, like, the Nordic tribe and find out more about, like, Bjorn's mother and what's going on there and if if that's like actually his biological father or not, because I feel very like I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's confusing because she did that ritual and I was like, the only the blood of my blood and the blood of my blood and this and that. But then then he's calling Harold, I don't know, I can't say their names even after listening, calling him father, so it was all very confusing.
Well, you don't have to be blood related for
that's
it to
be very parent. Very very true.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm very excited. I feel like a little bit like how I felt at the end of Fourth Wing, the first book, where it's like, okay, people we thought that might have been dead are actually alive, which I kind of had inklings throughout the book, like, oh, I think maybe there's more to the mother. But I thought maybe we'd just find out more about her through flashbacks. I was still kind of surprised to find out she was actually, like, alive. And I'm hoping, like, we'll be taken to this other part of, you know, the book that needed a map. That needed a map.
I also listened to it. And for the longest time, I couldn't get my hands on the hard copy. So I couldn't. A lot of times I would listen and read, but I could not get a hard copy. So I was just listening. And I was like, are they saying Scotland? Is this supposed to be like a historical fantasy twist? Because it sounded like she was saying Scotland for a long time. I'm like, I don't think that's what she's saying. She's not actually saying Scotland. She's saying Scotland or whatever.
Yeah.
But Scotland. There was a little confusion there. I was like, what are we doing? But, I liked the story. I don't know that I would have liked it nearly as much if, like we were kind of talking about last time, it kind of like pokes fun at the tropes. I think when I first started it and the tropes were coming on hot and fast, and I was like, oh, really? And then it kind of started making fun of that, and I totally got on board. I'm like, this is great. Like, it was still a serious story, but the line that got me was when she had to ride the horse with him. And towards the beginning, where she's like, oh, of course I'm going to be spending the next day and a half pounding my ass on his cock. And I'm like, what did she just say?
You know, I love the one horse trope.
But the way she just said it, like, she didn't physically say it, she said it in her head. But I was like, okay, all right, I'm ready for this book. Just take me where you want to go, because... Yeah. We were aware of the tropes and we're going to make fun of it, but it's still going to be, it's not like silly. It was still a book, but a serious book, but that part I think I enjoyed the most was the fact, just the attitude towards it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that, if she had just tried to like straight tell the story, I think I would have been a little less into it.
I really enjoyed the story, even though I did not love the audiobook. But I could tell the words were there, and I love Danielle Jensen so much, so I don't hold it against her. But I found the story kind of predictable. It didn't stop my enjoyment of it, but like right away, I'm like, oh, he's the guy she saw when she thinks she saw a girl at the
rune
tree. Yeah,
the temple thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, come on. This is
There's
so clearly.
Just so much of that. And it's like, oh, he's definitely not. He hates his dad, Snorri, or whatever his name is. Like, he's definitely on the other people's side. Like, there was just so much that I found. I didn't 100% know the mom was alive, but I definitely. A lot of things felt really predictable. But it didn't take away from my enjoyment of the story. What did was the audiobook. But. But I think overall it's a really good story and there's still more to tell and we're left with some questions that I would like answered. But also I thought she kind of overreacted at the end, but also sometimes she was overreacting throughout the whole story. So maybe that's just how I feel about her as a character.
Yeah, she was a little flighty. Dramatic. Like she didn't catch on to things. She didn't put the pieces together. She was like, overreacting about things. She had to, you know, wanted to pin everything on the wife and was like, she did it. I know she did it. I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. You have no evidence whatsoever. You just think she did.
She's like, I've got to care about my family who doesn't care about me.
I had to get over it. Like, get over it. That was almost like as bad as my sister. But she was my family. I'm like, they don't like you.
They don't exactly like you.
They are only care about you because you can make life better for them.
But I feel like she got that message by the end of this first book. I feel like at least that's
her mom's dead. That's not the brother's ridiculous. So I mean, it was pretty much like yes, she got it, but. Also, it's not much of a choice at this point either.
Yeah.
It's like so in her face. Like, hopefully she finally understands.
I like, it won't be like a running thing throughout the series.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the end of that story. Yeah. Line, hopefully.
No thanks to her, though.
No. Bajorn's like, your family doesn't like you. And she's like, what do you mean? They love me.
She's like, but they're still my family. And I'm like, uh-huh.
She was, like, just so abused as a child. I think, like, between, like, her family and then her first husband, like, she was just constantly, like,
she doesn't to,
like,
know what,
get
it.
In the corner and be quiet. Yeah.
Well, now I feel bad for making fun of her, Catherine. Great.
No, I think, yes, maybe a little, Catherine, but there was also points where she was like, I'm gonna be a big, tough soldier. I'm going into battle. So she had, like, some drive, some still ambition. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did love that she hit him in the face with a fish, though.
That was
go all the way back to the beginning here.
Yeah.
And they had great banter.
Yes.
The banter was so good.
Yeah, with the writing, I think she writes great banter.
Yeah, she's really good at it.
I think that was, like, part of, like, what kept it as, like, a really big page-turner for me, too, was just, even if there was, like, a moment where, like, they were stopped somewhere and maybe the plot wasn't moving, they had great banter that I didn't mind that we had that pause.
Yeah, there were some dragging parts, though.
I didn't find as many dragging parts, but I didn't listen to the audiobook, so.
It might just be all the audiobook's fault.
It's fine. It's fine.
I was kind of expecting the dad to die, the Snorri or whatever. I thought he would die at some point in this book. I was like, how are we supposed to get out of this marriage? He has to die at some point, right? That's the only way. And then he just didn't.
he just kept being alive.
I, you know, it was the force proximity trope where he had to be the one to protect her all the time. Daddy/husband even ordered it and said, you must be with her at all times. And I'm like, you know what's gonna happen, right?
Right. Yeah. Your hot son, your hot wife.
Because he had like the tear from the one god, so he has like the fire axe thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was like their rationale, right? Like,
yeah, because he was the only one who could protect her.
Well, and he was the only one who could see what happened to her during that, like, ritual thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting, too, like, the father was so oblivious to how much Bajoran did not like him. Like, he was so obsessed with, like, trying to be, like, the one true king, you know, very, like, Game of Thrones, like, the one to rule them all kind of obsession and kind of, like, delirious in his mind that he was, like, it's my responsibility, it's my birthright, like, it, you know, all these things, that he was, his brain was so there that he was so oblivious to, like, what to us at the readers, at least, felt, like, very obvious, like, he is not your number one fan.
But the connection between her and the son/brother was not oblivious to that. Like, it was a little weird, like, reading it. I'm like, how does nobody see this? How does nobody see that they're, like, totally into each other? But then at the end, they're like, oh, obviously everybody knew. Sorry, we thought we were being sneaky. And I was like, okay, I'm a little more okay with it now. Then.
Okay, that scene on the mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
Literally in the middle of the camp. I was like, what are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
Well, this is like any self-preservation.
She does say after that happens that, like, she looked at her like she knew more happened than just them sleeping. So she was feeling like people were thinking it. She constantly says it. Everyone's gonna know.
Well, yeah, if you do that in the middle of a camp where everybody is there, yeah, they're gonna find out.
It kind of reminded me of another Jennifer L. Armentrout book, but I won't spoil it, you know, when that happens. Anastasia, do you know what I'm talking about?
I've read a lot of them. Which one was that?
From Blood and Ash, that happens in it, too.
Yeah, probably.
It's a constant thing in that book. It's a constant.
Oh, you read it, too, Jess. It's a
similar thing. You made me.
I know I did my best. I bought you a physical copy of that.
Ooh, you sent me a digital copy.
I sent you a digital copy of that. Sorry, my bad. That's what I meant.
And I'm reading it, and I'm like, and Jennifer knows full well that I don't like vampires or werewolves. And she's like, they're not. I'm like, they are. You can call it whatever you want, but they are still not vampires and werewolves.
They are not.
So we kind of, like, touched base a little bit on Freya.
Freya.
This is why I have to listen to the audio while I read it, because how I would pronounce words are always so off of what they actually are. We all kind of talked about her. I feel like I saw her very much as, like, a traumatized child. So I feel like maybe of the four of us, I had a little bit more empathy for her and understood a little bit why she made some of the reactions that she did. But what'd you guys think of Bajoran? Like, I would say he's probably, like, the second main character in the book.
I liked him, even though I hated the audiobook.
That's, like, at the end of all of Jennifer's sentences.
I just feel like I've got to tell you why
I love it so much.
I feel like, I mean, it was intentional that we didn't get to know him, or the real him, fully. And maybe we will in the second book. Because, you know, he was playing double agent kind of thing, so he couldn't really be himself. Or he's triple agent. I don't even know. But, he was fun when he was being witty and bantery. He was fun.
Yeah, I liked him. I never know whether to call the love interest a supporting character or a main character when we do our blog thing. I waver back and forth. But he was good. He kind of checked all the boxes of, like, the love interest that I usually like. So, it worked.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I mean, now that I brought up From Blood and Ash, I'm seeing a lot of, like, similarities in this book. I'm like, shoot, there's the line. Sorry, I don't want to spoil that book, but... I liked him. I thought he was a typical romantic character that I would like for my main character, so I'm down.
Any other supporting characters you liked or did, just really couldn't stand? Besides the audiobook. The audiobook's not a character, Jennifer. But I can't speak.
I don't know. I hated Snorri. I hated her first husband. I forget his name. The fish man.
I want to say Froggy or something.
Froggy, that is. That's it. I also just finished the book, like, right before we started this podcast.
I thought a lot of the supporting characters were great characters, like, love to hate, kind of. Even the first wife.
Ylva.
Yes. She was, like, I was really interested throughout it to learn more about her, because I always felt like she wasn't what she seemed, and I thought she was in a really interesting situation where she seemed to actually really love her husband, and she was, like, struggling with the whole dynamic of, I know you need to marry this girl, take her on as your second wife in order to fulfill, you know, what we both believe is, like, your right to be the king, but... And I feel like he genuinely loved her, too. Like, he did not seem to want to have sex with Freyra. Like, he was really like, I'm just going to do the minimum amount of what I need to do so that you fulfill the prophecy. But I thought that whole dynamic was weird/very intriguing. like, what is this weird romance between you two? And yeah, what was, like, learning, trying to understand more about, like, her dynamic with Bajorn too, and clearly she's knows more about his mother and had feelings about it, so in that way I felt like her and some of the other supporting characters, they were, like, they're interesting, like, the little bits we learned about them, but then, like, good chunk of them, it was just, like, you love to hate them. Like, her whole family, her first husband, yeah, they were kind of, like, great love to hate them characters.
Oh yeah, her brother and Ingrid and Greer, I don't know if her name's right, but I did not like them.
Their storyline was, like, another portrayal or betrayal too for her,
right? Poor her. Now you made me see her as a victim, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't be annoyed at her for some of her choices.
Well, see, I still thought she was too ambitious and a little sassy to really play the victim. I get that she had a bad lot in life. She had a horrible first husband. Her family didn't love her. But she just seemed a little too cocky for that to have, like, really caused... Or, well, not even cocky, but, like, the family thing, she just didn't even... grasp, like,
but it's
my
family.
She had a traumatic traumahood. It's my family. But she didn't seem like hurt by it,
because children aren't, like, even if they have the worst parents in the world, they will still, like, love them unconditionally.
Oh my god, Catherine, my heart, stop it.
You're making Jennifer feel the feels.
But it's true.
I'm going to feel bad about all the children in the world right now and cry.
Listen, that's what I do on a regular basis, so we can do it together. Yeah. But I feel like that's, like, where, to me, she was, like, such a true, like, child of trauma, because you don't see it with your own family, where maybe it's, like, more obvious to see it when it's, like, your neighbor across the street or a romantic partner or a friend or something. But when it's your own parents... or your siblings or whatever, it's so deep in your trauma and that part of, like, how you just develop as a person. They're, like, your first interaction with, like, okay, how do I be human? That you just accept it as, like, okay, that's them, and you just love them. But, I mean, she's obviously getting to an age and, like, developing enough in the story where she was, like, oh, wait, why would, like, she's genuinely surprised by how they treat her. Like, but why would you? And then you, us as the reader, is like, because they're terrible people. And this is what terrible people do. But she's so, like, you know, somewhere, like, deep in her, she's like, but you're my family. You wouldn't. You maybe you're awful to other people, but you wouldn't be awful to me, right? Like, I'm your sister, I'm your daughter. And it's just, like, to feel like she's growing up and, like, getting that reality check of, yeah, sometimes it's even your family that are crappy people. And that was, like, I was so sad. I was so sad for her and the whole thing with her mom. I went through it.
Oh, my gosh, you guys, welcome to our therapy session where we unleash family trauma and try to work through it.
Child development. I went too far. I'm sorry. I took us too far.
No, but it is. You just don't, I just didn't look at it that way because of the audiobook.
Because of the audiobook. Which was fine. Which was fine.
I have to listen to. But actually, if you think about it, she did have a shitty upbringing. So, yeah, poor her.
Yeah.
On lighter topic, you guys.
How about the world in general? Not her shitty upbringing, but the world in general.
I liked the setting.
Yeah, me too. Go for it, Jen.
No, that's all. I like Fjords. Am I saying those right? I've been to one.
Fjords.
I just wanted a map. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
I like the world, but I want a map to see what it looks like. Second book.
Yeah.
It's a requirement.
Yeah, a map would have been nice.
Edges or whatever. Just give me a map.
And, you know, pronunciation no guide.
I know. I looked for the pronunciation guide. I Googled how to pronounce some of the words because I was like, I'm not understanding this.
There's no map, you guys? Sorry, because I only just read the last 30 pages.
Oh, no, there's not.
There's nothing. No map, no pronunciation guide, no list of characters. There's nothing.
I wish audio. Daniel Jensen, I expect more from you. Your Breach of Your Bridge Kingdom is so good. Your Bridge Kingdom is so good. Maybe she thinks because it's all Nordic stuff, we should know it. Don't you guys know about Valhalla and Thor?
Well, yeah. But there are
Do you guys
names
not watch Avengers?
Here.
Wait, is that the right one?
Is that the right one? He's in there, yeah. Thor's in there.
You're not wrong, but you're not right either.
Do you guys not watch Thor 1, 2, and 3?
There you go.
The Loki spinoff on Disney Plus? Like...
That takes place in a whole nother place. Like, that's a whole nother thing. Sorry.
I fell asleep during that one. I couldn't make it through. I tried.
It was fun, and then it got confusing. And I was like, and we kept watching it, and Dan and I kept looking at each other going, I don't have a clue what's going on. Do you know what the hell's going on? Nope. Okay, we'll just keep watching.
It didn't make any sense to me, so I would go to sleep.
Well, you know, Dan hates time travel, so.
I like time travel.
I like time travel.
I think I'm going to start watching Doctor Who because Disney Plus has a new version of it. I don't know.
Anyways, 9 and 10 are my favorite doctors.
It's also a very big tangent. I'm sorry. But we do what we want here. We make the rules, right?
We make the rules.
Yes. Yes.
It's our podcast. It wasn't anything like Avengers, but I did like the world. And, the magical setup she had seemed well constructed. Like, I'm a little picky sometimes when magic doesn't have like a clear set of rules, but this one was fine. I mean, it was, you know, you're kind of limited to what your gift was, so that's an easy way to keep magic under control and not just, you know, anything goes,
right?
So, you know, that helped.
I did find it weird that they would be like, oh, what do you call that girl who could sing the songs? Whatever her gift was. Yeah. They would talk about it as if there's like a bunch of people like her, but we only ever meet like one person who owns each gift, yet they talk about it as if these are like common gifts. And I guess maybe because her company was so small, but that kind of weirded me out a little bit. It's not
maybe
like, oh, you're not
killed
so
her competition. You don't know. She was like, I had a cushy job here.
It'd be like, oh, I'm not going to talk to those people because they're going to, like, know inside my head. And they talk about it as if there's just so many people they're encountering with this gift.
Given that she's, like, a bard or whatever, people like her would go around traveling and telling stories. So I imagine her type of, like, godly child or whatever would probably be a little bit more well-known than some of the others who wouldn't really have a need to go around collecting stories and telling people what was going on.
That's true.
Yeah, they kind of stay more in their place. Okay. So. Okay, anything else we want to talk about? Any other things? She hated the audio. Noted.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. What?
Sorry, go ahead, Catherine. I apologize.
No, you're fine. I just said, overall, I gave it, like, I think I gave it 5 stars on my initial review of it. So I'm very excited for the next book. It says it's book 1 in the series. I haven't found anything online of a release date for the next book. I don't know if you guys found anything.
No, Goodreads just has the one book.
But I do look forward to when it eventually will come out, which my guess at this point will be like 2025, 2026, but we'll see.
God, I hope not that long.
I don't know.
I gave it 4 stars. Probably it mostly got that 4th star for the sassy poking fun of the tropes that they did. That was just, I guess, something I hadn't seen in a book, and I thought it was kind of great that they had that attitude towards it.
Yeah.
So she posted on her Instagram 5 days ago that the second book, that she's going to release the cover soon.
Ooh!
Okay.
That's exciting. So
that's good. That's good.
Okay, so maybe it will be sooner. Maybe it'll be at the end of this year. That would be nice.
No, I was just checking because she also has the Bridge Kingdom spinoff she's doing, so I didn't know if there's like going to be one of those instead.
Yeah, it sounds like she's an author juggling a lot of series from what you've shared with me. So
yeah,
that's why I was thinking we might have a longer wait. But if she's going to reveal a cover soon, maybe it won't be that long.
Oh, yeah. New covers. She's got a whole thing. Sorry. Anyways, I'm just watching her Instagram. I gave it 4 stars. Mm-hmm. Even, gosh, you guys, I'm so sorry.
I gave it 4 stars despite the horrible audiobook.
Maybe want to give it 3. I know.
Did you say 2 earlier?
I think I said.
I think you said 2 for the audiobook.
No, I said 0 out of 10 for the audiobook.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I really couldn't stand it, you guys. That's probably why I've not finished. What's that one that we read by Susan Dennard? That Wind Witch. What's it called, Jess?
Truth Witch.
Truth Witch.
Truth Witch. Man, I couldn't get through that audiobook either. That hurt me in my heart. Because that was a good story. I gotta go back and finish it without the audiobook. But
it's
anyway,
not finished, so you might as well just wait.
Okay, I won't. I'll wait.
When the last one finally comes out, you can do a reread of the whole thing. I mean, because let's face it, in order to get through the last one, you're gonna have to reread because it's been so long.
So long. Well, I'm gonna give it 4 stars. And I bet you guys, when I reread it for the second book, it will actually be a 5-star read. I can feel it, but I'm going to caution on the 4 stars because just in case. But the last 30 pages, 10 out of 10.
When she read it herself.
When I read it myself.
When you read it to yourself, it was great.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. Anastasia, what'd you give it?
I wavered between 4 and 4.5. I finally decided on 4.5 stars.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. I guess our review of Fate. I'm terrible.
Fate Inked in Blood, yeah.
Yeah.
We Which read this book like because of you, Catherine.
The They're like, her fate is inked in blood. Like, the title of the book.
Okay. We kind of talked about what we're going to do next time. Do we want to tease that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Tell the good people, Jess.
Tell the good people. So next episode, we are going to... We're all going to do a reread. Not just Jennifer. Of The Shadows Between Us by Tricia Levenseller. And in anticipation of the sequel. Well, spinoff sequel coming up. So.
But like sister book. Literal sister
book. Literal sister book. The Darkness Between Us, which you've heard us talk about multiple times. We're all excited about that one coming out.
The only new release I've looked forward to for the last 3 months.
Yeah. We were talking about traveling and reading, and I wanted to mention it earlier, but it fits here too. Jennifer, when I first met you in New York, I was listening to a Tricia Levenseller book. And, like, I was on, you know, the subway going to meet you and walking to the where we were meeting, and I'm like, I gotta finish this book. I was listening the whole way, and... I just thought that was funny.
Oh, we met in the park. It was so pretty. I was like, let me just go meet this stranger I met online.
Random stranger.
And look at you. Look at you, the two of you now.
At least Kelly vouched for Catherine. That's how we got her. Anastasia and I met in a line at BookCon when some creepy guy left his briefcase and left us in charge of his briefcase and just left for like an hour and a half.
I don't think I ever
go get coffee.
Suitcase aspect of your guys'
interaction. Yeah, he was between us in line and he put his briefcase down and said, "I'm gonna go get coffee. I'll be right back." And we're like, "Okay."
Did he call the bomb squad?
They had the dogs walking around. But the line at the coffee place was insane, and then I don't know what else he did. He couldn't have just gotten coffee, because he was gone a long time. And then the line was getting too long, so they started, like, queuing us up and, like, wrapping us around. And I was like, what do we do? And she's like, I don't know. So I just, like, started pushing it with my toe. And we moved.
You touched the bomb bag?
Yeah, I touched it. It's fine.
Yep.
I don't know. That year I went with you to, was that BookCon or BEA?
It was both.
Oh, because when I went to BookCon
during the week, or BEA was during the week, like the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. BookCon is Saturday, Sunday.
We did that first year I met you, right? We did both.
Yeah.
So during BEA, the lines were fine in the food, but during BookCon, it took me like an hour and a half just to get a drink. Like I was like, "What is going on?" And I sat down with
Jennifer,
the dad.
You
and had
can't
a beer.
Get food. There's no getting
beer.
Food.
I needed to relax from
all
the
stress. You packed snacks.
Yeah, Jennifer packed snacks. She had a whole bag of chips and a big jar of dip, and she sits down,
and it just pops.
And opens her chip bag, and is like, home? I'm like, I meant like a granola bar. She also had that to-go tuna thing.
I did, with the crackers. And I have beef jerky.
We're in a line, meeting authors to get signed, and she's popping tuna into her mouth.
I'm a hungry person, okay, Jess? I didn't know what to expect. It was my first book event.
You bring a water bottle, you bring granola bars, and, like, peanut butter crackers. That's all you get. You gotta make it through the whole day.
I gotta step up my game. I forgot I brought, like, dip with, like, Ruffles chips.
Like, a full-size bag of Ruffles chips.
I'm hungry for Ruffles chips with the French onion dip now.
Well, I love it. Now our listeners are also getting tips on like do's and don'ts when you go to book conventions.
I don't know, you guys should do the chips with the dip. It was great.
I mean, it sounds like you were full, right? That was the goal.
Yeah, the tuna one didn't work out for because we were in a line
that
kept moving.
You don't like tuna.
And the line kept moving, so she had to like pick all her stuff up and waddle a couple of feet and put it down and then like spread some more tuna on her cracker and then oh, they're moving again. You gotta pick all your stuff up, waddle a couple of places. It's just like, oh my god, I'm not with this person.
It's when you just met me, you weren't ready to accept my weird.
I am pretty sure I briefed you on what to expect. I also told you comfortable shoes, and you wore some like heels or something, and you were complaining that your feet hurt.
Oh, yeah. That's because I wanted to look like, cute.
Those boots or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because I did a PolyCon in March, and it was nothing like that. Like, a PolyCon was so chill. No one was even in Sarah J. Maas's line at a PolyCon. I went in her line, like, 3 times. And, like, now I think about who she is now, and I'm like, how was that even possible? Mm-hmm. Everyone just was like, she's, like, sitting there by herself. And I'm like, can I come in your line again? Is this allowed? She was like, actually, and I was like, too bad you are re-signing my next book. Thanks.
Nope. Oh, yeah. I read her books.
I love her books.
Don't like her. But.
same.
But I'll read her books. I will. I can't not. Okay. You want to, should we let these people go? We've been talking to them for quite a while.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Maybe we'd meet again on distant shores.
And no mourners.
No funerals.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.